lecture about precepts. I say precepts. The first thing you will think of is something like Ten Commandments or Ten Great Prohibitory Precepts. Zen precepts is not like that. The Zen precepts is to study Zen precepts means to understand the Zen. It is another interpretation of Zazen is precept. Using words, precepts, we explain what is Zen actually. The purpose of receiving precepts, observing precepts, is not just to remember what we should do or what we shouldn't do. And how we observe precepts is to practice them or to extend our practice to our everyday life. So the idea of precepts is completely different from the usual understanding of precepts. The precepts, you know, which is or foundation of precepts, or true meaning of precepts is various way of understanding of one reality, which is always with you, reality, which is not indivisible in 3 or in 16 or in 10. Tentatively, we divide, explain it from various angles, but that is just words. Real, you know, precept is beyond words. We cannot, if we talk about it, it is not real precept already. So if you think precept is just to observe some various rules, is precept. It is very different or very far away from the true understanding of the true precept. So the first precepts of 16 precepts we observe is put into English word. One reality, which is not which cannot be divided in three or 16. One reality. Precept of one reality. You may call it emptiness. Or you may call it the absolute. And that is the one reality, you know. That is the first precepts we receive, we observe. So you may know this is the most important, maybe most, I cannot say the most important, but this is the anyway, all the precepts start from this precept. Without understanding this precept, our precept doesn't make any sense. One reality which we cannot divide three or six or 16. It can be understood in a great scale. Whatever there are in this world or in this universe, what kind of rule we have, or what kind of truths we can observe in various ways, or moral code, or rules, or theory, we scientists observe. All those truths is included in this big scale of the precepts. We understand the precepts in various ways. Scientists understand his own way. And religious people understand religious way. There must be various ways of understanding of it, but what we study, what we observe is the one precept. That is the precept. We receive, when you receive precepts, 16 precepts. You may understand then, you know, how you receive precepts. How you receive precepts is just practice, doesn't it? Just to be yourself. Then you can observe the precept. It looks like I'm talking about something about heaven. But it is not so. I'm talking about each one of you and myself. And about the water and about the stuff. When, you know, stuff is really stuff, this stuff include everything. When you just practice Zazen on your black cushion, your practice includes everything. And you practice Zazen with Buddha, with various patriarch, and with all sentient beings. That is, you know, what I always repeat over and over. Whether your practice is good or bad, it doesn't matter. If you accept your practice as your own, then that practice includes everything. At that time, you have precepts which include everything. As the absolute being includes everything. We say, you know, something which includes everything is the absolute. But it is actually, it is more than that. It is beyond our understanding. You may think, if you add, you know, all of you and all the being which exists in this universe, then that is the absolute. But it is not so, because that absolute can be understood by your mind. You know, something which you understand is not already absolute. You know, because your mind limits the real understanding of the absolute. When you understand, it is not so. When you don't understand, and when you just sit, when you become just a stone or stuff, you know, then you include everything. That is, you know, our Zazen practice. This is so important point for us. If we lose this point, you will be easily caught by some idea or some experience in your, you know, practice. My practice is good, very good. Recently, I saw Buddha in Zazen. Various Buddha. All the Buddha came to me and admired my practice. You are laughing, but it is actually, that kind of practice exists, and they practice this kind of practice very sincerely. But even so, it is good practice, but even so, comparing to the practice, just sit. You can't. It is beyond comparison. Just to sit is much better than to see all the Buddha in the world. Do you understand why? Why is it? That is the point, you know. To know how important practice it is, just to be yourself. When I couldn't read Zen book in English, you know, Alan Watts, you know, said, you know, when a stone is completely stone, that is real stone, he said. That is what he put, you know, our Zen into words. When a stone is really stone, that is, you know, when a stone is stone through and through, that is really a stone. Not only that is really stone, when it is really stone, the stone includes everything. The stone cannot be, you know, picked up by anyone when a stone is really stone. When, because it is not stone, you know. So someone may kick it. But when a stone is really stone, you cannot do. You cannot do anything with it. When a stone is really stone, you cannot, you know, pick up. Even though you think you picked up, still, you know, it is a part of the universe. It is you that who thinks you could pick up, but actually you didn't. You didn't. It is still a part of the universe. You cannot pick up whole universe. If you say so, I picked up whole universe. Where are you? You are a ghost. You are outside of the universe. That is just delusion. Nothing exists outside of the universe. All what exists is inside of the universe, you know. So that you say you picked up a stone is big delusion. Stone is still stone. You cannot do anything with it. With it. If you understand this point and sit, that is how you receive precepts. And this is only one way to observe precepts, a perfect precept. There is no other way to observe precepts. This precept is called I don't know how to interpret precepts, which is not dividable in three. Why we say three is there's two more. Another point of this precept is you say, you know, as you know, we say Dhamma and no, Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha. I'm talking about, I have been talking about Dhamma precepts, which cannot be divided in three. And the next one is Dhamma precepts, Dhamma. It is, law of the universe. There's, in some way, always things is going. If you throw something, away, it will eventually come to the earth. Because of the theory of the gravitation. So what, there's some rules, in the way of things exist. So if we say rule, that law or theory, that theory or rule includes everything. There's nothing exists out of, free from the law or theory. That is Dhamma. So we say freedom. Even though you have complete freedom. You say, I have complete freedom from everything. But if you exist outside of the law or theory, you are a ghost. that is your own delusion. Actually, nothing exists outside of the rules. And that is called, the second one is called pure law or pure precept. Why pure means not dualistic. When something is in duality, it is not pure, we say. When we, when things is not dualistic, it is pure. Usually, when you say pure, pure is opposite of impure. And when you say good, good is opposite of bad, a pair of opposite. Good and bad is pair of opposite. Then there is already pollution. Good air or pure air. So, when we say pure, it means non-duality. Non-duality. When you sit, if you say, my practice is good, it is already dualistic. Whether you say good practice or bad practice, you are right there and sitting. You cannot say good practice or bad practice. There's some reason why someone's practice is like this, or someone cannot sit with her back straight. So there's some reason. So you cannot say good or bad. That is how she practiced Zazen. For her, there's no other way to sit for 2 days practice. She's making her best effort. And she practiced Zazen just to, you know, make her effort, complete effort. To be a complete being, she's sitting. Not to attain enlightenment, or not to keep her from being fall into the hell. He's just sitting. She's just sitting. No one can criticize her practice. And she, if she criticizes her practice, you know, she's not making her best effort. When she's making her best effort, you know, she cannot criticize. She will not be regret about her practice. That is her own practice. And day after day, if she continue this kind of practice, and that is how we exist, or how we live as a good Buddhist. That is how we keep our precepts. Anyway, there's some rule, you know, some reason why each person exists here. There's some reason why plant is plant and stars are stars. So when we say Dhamma, Dhamma includes everything. And Dhamma is another name of the Buddha, the Absolute One. On the third one, it's Sangha. Sangha means to keep harmony, to be harmonious. You know, when Buddha and the law of the universe is not two, and when someone who is practicing Zazen and Buddha and his law is one, that is complete harmony. It is more than harmony. It is actually one. So, after all, we say, after all, one indivisible. The precepts, which is indivisible in three, or in which is indivisible. We say three precepts, but it is not three. We cannot divide in three. So we say precepts, which is not divisible in three. But we can, you know, explain it in three ways. My practice is, you know, my zazen is precept itself. That is one interpretation, one way of understanding the precepts. There's rules, you know. If I do something good, result will be good. You cannot, you know, escape from the law of karma. If you understand that way, then that law includes, that rule or law includes everything. We say law of karma. But you cannot escape from karma. Nothing can, you know, escape from the karma. There's some rule, always rule. Rule is following you, not following you, you know. It is how everything exists. So, you know, it is same thing with Buddha himself. When we say Buddha, Buddha, you know, acts with karma, by karma, or for karma. So karma and Buddha is the same, and we, you know, Buddha's disciple is always one with Buddha. We cannot escape from him. So we say, in divisible precepts. We cannot divide in three. Now you are listening to my lecture. Or you may, to study Buddhism, you will read many books. The books you read is not Buddhism itself, but explanation of this, you know, truth. Form is emptiness, emptiness is form. If we explain it like this, it is Prajnaparamita group, study of Prajnaparamita group, sutra of Prajnaparamita group. If we put emphasis on how to be Buddha, why we are Buddha, then that is study of Lotus Sutra. What is the, if we study koan, what do we study? What do you study? By koan is what is the relationship between our practice and the reality. How we, you know, why we, how we have a glance of the truth or enlightenment or Buddha, which is always one, which is not dividable, which cannot be explained in words. That is, how you study koan. Through koan, or through koan practice, you have a glance of the truth. Oh, this is reality. That is koan practice. Whatever you say, whatever you write, it is a kind of way. It is one of the way to put the reality into words. If you are an artist, what you work on is how to, convey your understanding of the truth. To study Buddhism, of course, is included in our study of precepts. Precept is not just to observe 10 prohibitory precepts, do not kill, do not steal, that is not, that is, it is precepts. It is really precepts, but that is not. Even though you observe 10 precepts completely, it is not how you observe our real precepts. So we are not interested in to explain 250, more than 200, and a little bit more. I don't know how many more. Three or four more precepts. For a man and for a lady, more than 500. I'm sorry to say, each time I say, some of you maybe may not like it. But as I always say, female has more complicated, spiritually and physically complicated, activity. So the rules should be more complicated. That is quite natural. So man is more simple, and too simple means maybe not so good. Simpleton? Simpleton. So, I'm not proud of, having half of the precepts as a lady has. I'm not proud of it. I'm so simple. I'm so foolish, maybe. But anyway, it is not the point to observe those precepts one by one after another. The point is how to be yourself, how to be a lady. Then you have precepts. You have complete precepts when you are just ready. You keep more than 500 precepts. But actually, even though you keep written precepts, 500 of written precepts, you may not be completely ready. But when the best way is just to be yourself, then precepts are with you always. People may ask, what are you doing, you know, in Zen Center? What kind of practice you have in Zen Center? There are many ways, maybe. But in short, to be oneself is the purpose of our practice. How to be oneself? Oneself is a point of practice, and how to keep the precepts, Buddha's precepts. And those are the three precepts, the three indivisible precepts. And next one, I'm not continuing my lecture anymore because you may be hungry. You may be hungry if I continue. The another three is the three corrective pure precepts. Correction of all the goodies. That is another three precepts. How about it? Correction of all the goodies precepts. And we have ten more. That is ten prohibitory precepts. You shouldn't eat too much, you know, even though we have the three corrective good precepts. That is 16 precepts. And we tentatively, you know, explain the framework of Buddhism by the explanation of the precepts. So it is not just precepts. It is not just rule. It is direct explanation of our life and Buddha's teaching and Zazen practice. That is why it is important for you to receive precepts.